Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, and we continue our four-part look now at America as Patchwork Nation. That's the title of a new book by journalist Dante Cini. To show that America is much more complicated than just red and blue states, he has analyzed the entire U.S. county by county, that's more than 3,000 counties, and come up with 12 types of communities that predominate across the land, ranging from the industrial metropolis to service worker centers, evangelical epicenters, moneyed burbs, and what Dante called boom towns. And that's what we'll talk about today. With the foreclosure crisis front and center again, Patchwork Nation notes that boom towns, most typified by Las Vegas, are among the hardest hit by foreclosures today because they were the fastest growing when the bubble was inflating. Hi, Dante. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
And it's funny to talk about a boomtown as a category of American county today because we don't live in boom times, except maybe on Wall Street, where the Dow is over 11,000 again. But when you came up with your Patchwork Nation categories, where did the phrase boomtown come from?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I mean, when I write about these places now, I have to say boomtowns, places that formerly boomed in the first half of the last decade. I mean, these were places that when the housing bubble was really, when the housing market was going crazy, these were kind of largely places of a lot of exurban areas, and they just grew like wildfire. And then they just, houses went up and up and up, and suburbs went up and up and out, and things looked very good for a while.
And boomtowns are less than 10% of the counties in the U.S., but have 20% of the population, about 60 million people. That is a lot of the country. They're mostly in the South and West, very few are in the Northeast, just two even remotely in the New York metro area, on either side of the New Jersey-Pennsylvania border there, on the northwest corner of New Jersey and into Pennsylvania. So what's the geography, and why there? Why they are the places you were calling boomtowns? Why do these things occur where they do?
Well, they occurred. I mean, when they really did occur, they occurred because these were people that wanted they wanted a big house. They wanted land. I mean, these are the people who lived maybe in an inner ring suburb, got a little money, and decided, well, I could move to the next nice leafy suburb up, but I'm going to have a smaller house, or I can take my money, move another 40, 50, 60 miles away, and get a big house.
And you almost make it seem in the book like the boom in America's boomtowns was from the housing itself rather than in some other kinds of job markets that spurred the housing. Am I looking at that right?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, that's what's really fascinating about these places, and it's really sad when you visit them now, but these are places where the construction machine just got going and going, and it was so powerful that all these people were suddenly flush, and guys who did, HVAC suddenly were rich, and guys who did carpentry suddenly were rich and landscaping. And then they bought big houses. So, then because they were thinking, well, it may not go this good forever, but it'll stay good. I can buy a nice house. So now as the market collapses, the entire economy collapses in these places. Everybody's underwater in their homes, and the real engine for the economy, construction, is gone. And these are places where I honestly, and I say this in the book, when you look at these places, it's hard to know what are people here going to do. I mean, literally, like what are they going to do for a living?
Because that's 60 million Americans.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, some have obviously been hit harder than others, but this is a trend that we see. In all these boom towns, there was a lot of building. I mean, I'm in California right now. Riverside County is another example. Mm-hmm. Riverside grew like crazy, and now they have suburb streets that just end. And they end where there were going to be more lots, and they're gone now. I mean, those lots won't be built or no time soon. There's some in Florida. You get the same thing down there.
So since you do a lot of political analysis in the book as well, how do you think boomtowns voted in 2008, and how is that likely to change in the midterm elections with the new economy?
Yeah, the boomtowns have trended Republican. These are the people who kind of, they also liked moving out there because they could kind of live the Norman Rockwell dream of that kind of suburban life and get out of things a little bit. And then in 2008, the market kind of went bad in these places, and they were willing to try something new. So John McCain still won these places by only about 5%. And I think 4 years before, I think Bush had won them by like 14. But now they're wondering why things aren't better, essentially. And when we look at Tea Party membership or Tea Party events where they're held, meetups, the strongest correlation is with these places. This is where the angry voter, the angry American voter, really lives. And these are the folks who are really upset about their economic situation.
Why don't they look at Obama's spending on stimulus in particular, or
right.
guarantees for their future health care, which is now going to look iffy if
right.
their job prospects are so uncertain for the long and medium term, as you say, and conclude that this government is trying to help us be secure?
That's an excellent question. But when it gets down, it's a level, and I hate to say this, but, you know, most people just don't intellectualize to that extent. I went out to Eagle, Colorado, which is the boomtown I go to. I went this summer and just talked to voters out there, you know, and they're just, it's hard to explain. They're just mad. They're just angry. And it should be fixed by now. Why isn't it fixed? And this last round of foreclosures, the stuff that we're reading about today, mm-hmm. over the last 3 months,
right.
it pounded these places. So they're really feeling, you know, under siege. And I think the arguments you make are excellent arguments. And you can try to talk to them about that. They're just like, yeah, I understand. I don't care. I want everything to go back to the way it was before. And that's just not going to happen.
The boom towns were over 80% white, according to your book, but with a rising number of Hispanics.
Yeah. That's changing, though. You know, it's the Hispanics came to these places in part because they were working the construction jobs. And actually, Eagle, again, is a really good example of this. There's an elementary school nearby where an elementary that was 70 to 80% Hispanic in 2008, the number has dropped precipitously. It's down, like, the Hispanic population in that elementary school is down now somewhere around 40 or 50%. And it's because the jobs just aren't there anymore. And a lot of those people have left to go into try to find jobs elsewhere in the United States, or they've just gone back home.
Gone back to Mexico. There is, for all the talk about illegal immigration, I think there is a net flow out of the country right now of people who had been here illegally rather than a net flow in. I don't know if you're familiar with whether that stat is exactly accurate.
Well, it's hard to get the national net flow number, but I know from looking at Eagle, and I know also El Mirage, which is this immigration nation, a place of a lot of Hispanics down in Maricopa County. They'll tell you flat out that they're leaving. It's just and they say they wake up in the morning, especially in Maricopa County, they wake up and they see mattresses in the streets. And those were mattresses for guys who were living in the basement of some house. Mm. And the fact that they're in the streets means that the guys are gone now.
And you wrote in your book that the number of Hispanics may actually decline in the new census when it comes out compared to 10 years ago, even though the Hispanic population overall in the U.S. Keeps growing. That is, the number of Hispanics in boom counties.
Yeah, so, I think it will. Yeah.
So 30 seconds. In whatever the next boom becomes in the United States after the construction boom, will it likely not be in what had been the boom towns?
I don't know. I don't know how you get those boom towns going again. I don't think it's going to be in those places. I really don't. I think that what's happening in the economy is it's going to be the people with education and income who are going to thrive. And those places are going to be more of these moneyed bird places in these collegiate areas. These boom towns, I just think they're in for, if you want to talk about a tough 10 years ahead for the country, I think it's going to be even tougher in these places, very, very tough times ahead.
And when you come back next week, we'll talk about the New York area in particular, divided between the counties you call industrial metropolis and money burbs, and then so much of upstate New York in the really desolate service worker centers. And I think that explains a lot of what's going on in the gubernatorial race as well. So we'll talk about New York Metro next week with Dante Cini, author of Patchwork Nation, in this four-part series. Dante, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.